Good day, everyone. Welcome back to Dreams Warp, the podcast designed to awaken you to a new reality. For today's episode, I am addressing a comment I got on a YouTube video having to do with visualizations and what to do when your visualization stops making you as excited as it used to. So we're going to talk about this. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode. Hey all, before we get into this, I just need to allow a quick word from a sponsor. Thanks for your patience. All right, let's go ahead and get into this. My name is George, and if this is your first time here, first I want to say thank you for checking out the podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to explore the mind and the depths of consciousness that create it. Ultimately, the podcast is here to help you gain a sense of mastery over your reality in your life through mastery of the mind. So if that's something that interests you, you have definitely come to the right place. And I'd like to say that if you enjoy the content of this podcast, I hope that you will consider sharing it with others. That is a wonderful way to support the message of the podcast. All right. So I had some interesting comments come up, as I said in the intro, this past week or two on the YouTube channel. I do have a YouTube channel for those of you who are new here. You could always hop on over to YouTube if you want to check out some of that content. Anyway, I had gotten a comment. There was a viewer over there who brought up something interesting. And for some reason, you know, things how they go and they just get you thinking sometimes for no apparent reason. And he had asked about, he's basically using, you know, visualizations as part of his practice, you know, so visualizing things that he would like to achieve in his life, things that he would like to, and how this provides him, you know, with some inspiration, some drive, some motivation. And then again, you know, with techniques like these, I think the greatest benefit that we can get out of a technique like that, like visualization, aside from, like, for example, you have, I've heard of anyway, people in sports, for instance, or even people who are going to give a speech, something like that. They visualize themselves before the action itself, before the big game, before the, you know, whatever sport activity they're going to be doing, or before the speech, and they visualize themselves being successful at it, they visualize themselves going through the motions. And supposedly, it helps them in the actual act of doing it. So that's one benefit of visualization. But I think the other benefit is that a lot of times when you visualize dreams, things you want to see come true, goals you want to reach, whatever. It can also, in the moment that you were visualizing, it could help you feel better, right? You see that visualization in your mind and you kind of imagine yourself in that place, you know, of achieving your goals, and you feel good. It's a nice feeling. And I think that could be a benefit. Because I do think that overall, the type of life that we manifest has a lot to do with how we are feeling on a regular basis. And I think, you know, that's just kind of common sense, you know. So if you're somebody who, you know, if, for example, like individuals suffering from depression can experience a very different moment-to-moment reality compared to someone who does not suffer from depression, even though externally their lives may be somewhat similar. So a lot of what we experience in our moment-to-moment reality is very much impacted by how we are feeling at any given moment, and emotions going through us, and you know, so on and so forth. So when we're doing visualization practice, I'm hoping that as you use it, you are actually feeling a change in your emotional state as you are visualizing. That's really the key thing: to feel excited, to feel charged up, to feel positive, to feel you know, forward-looking, to feel, you know, energized, to feel confident, hopeful. Okay, all of these things, they're nice. They're nice. And as you're able to consistently stay in those types of positive feelings, you will obviously be thinking more positively. You will be behaving more positively. You may be more motivated to take actions that lead you closer to your goal. So it's all that great stuff. Now, coming back to this comment that I got, okay, all that stuff being said about visualization. he brought up an interesting question. And it's something that it's funny, it rang true for me because I've had similar experiences in the past. And basically his question was this, it's like, hey, you know, I'm using this visualization technique about something that I want to have manifest in my life. But I just noticed that, you know, the longer I use it, it's just not making me as excited as it used to. Okay. And I don't know if that's a bad thing. I don't know if that's supposed to happen. I'm paraphrasing at this point the question. I don't have it right in front of me. But they're basically concerned that in order to, I guess, you know, have this thing happen for them, whatever they're visualizing, that they need to really have that real excitedness about it. They need to feel very charged up when they visualize it. And after a little while, and like I said, it has been in my experience as well in the past, is that when you visualize the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, it starts to lose some of that, I guess, power that it seemed to have earlier on. And interestingly, right, I really, for some reason, like I said, I can't explain to you why, this question really burrowed itself in my mind, and I was just kind of mulling it over. I wouldn't say I was becoming obsessed with it or anything. I didn't lose any sleep. Okay, let me put it that way. But I did get pop in my mind, you know, every so often throughout the day, and I pondered it a little bit. And I think the reason that it did, if I could, now that I'm thinking about it and talking about it aloud, I think the reason that it probably got in there and got me thinking is how true is this on multiple levels, right? How many times in your life, and I'm speaking again also for myself, how many times in my life, aside from having a visualization that at first made me very, very excited and it starts to kind of lose its shininess after a little while, how many times have I also had something that I wanted appear in my life, a relationship, a job, a raise, you know, a certain amount of money, a trip, you know, a new car, you know, all these things that we often try to create in our lives. How many of those have I thought about, visualized, planned to get, and then gotten, and then after a little while, much like the visualization, it just doesn't really, you know, you know what I'm talking about. And a lot of times, interestingly, you can get something that you really, really wanted. And I think a perfect example of what I'm about to say is relationships. You get something you thought you wanted, and now all of a sudden the very thing that you wanted so badly has become a huge source of suffering, right? Of dissatisfaction, of pain. So this is the topic that I wanted to talk about, because as I've shared about here recently in other episodes, is that we have almost, again, just for purposes of getting this idea across, it seems like we have two different areas of our minds. We have the area of our minds that's always looking toward the future or remembering the past. And it's always kind of plotting the next thing that we want to achieve. You know, it's plotting a course, it's analyzing, it's projecting, it's predicting, it's looking into the past, it's trying to figure out, it's a planner, okay? And it's trying to figure out how to get the next thing that we want, right? Whether it's a relationship, whether it's a new job, whether it's a raise. And there's nothing bad about getting those things, okay? Let me be straight up about that. There's nothing bad about getting those things. But what we have to be careful with is that when you've gotten enough of those things, and I know that I have in my life personally, when you get enough of those things, right, you start to eventually, hopefully, realize that no matter how much you get, no matter how many individual things you get, that part of your mind is not satisfied. It always places its sights on something else now, right, that it wants. And this is not new information, right? This is stuff that many, many, many spiritual teachers have been talking about for a very, very long time. Now, as I had said again in a couple of previous episodes recently, there's another area of our minds, another area, and that's the area that is more able to, is, I guess you could call it the more basic nature of our mind, meaning it's the part of our mind that is more connected to our five senses, that is more aware of the present moment. And that is the part of our mind that many of us do not spend much time in, right? We're usually, I would say maybe 80, 90% in that first mind, which is always looking to the future about the next thing that it wants to get. And maybe we spend about 10, 20% in the part of our mind that is able to focus on the present moment and really experience what I think is central to all of this. And it's something that's been coming up in equal measure to the question where we started about this visualization, how eventually it doesn't make you as excited as it used to. It's like you get a shiny new toy, right? Whether it's a visualization or whether it's an actual thing, an object that appears in your life, either or, right? Because they're both concepts. One may be physical in nature, one may be mental in nature, but they were both just objects, mental objects. And we must come to the realization at some point, when you get enough objects, be they mental or physical, you must come to a point where you realize that there is no object out there. There is no visualization. There is no thing that you could get that is going to replace what we're really looking for, which is the ability to just feel happy, free, joyous, and grateful. That's the key word in the present moment, right? In the present moment. And that's because the reason we have such a hard time attaining that is because of what I mentioned just a couple minutes ago. It's not really because we're not that part of our mind that projects into the future. It's not that it's not figuring out how to get it. It's that it can't. That's not its job, right? Its job is always to look at the future or the past, always looking at the next thing that it wants to achieve. But if we're spending 80 to 90% of our conscious time in that part of our mind, then of course we are missing out on this present moment, the other part of our mind that is more connected to our five senses and more connected to the now, as Eckhart Tolle says in his book. And what we need to figure out is how to spend a little more time in that present moment mind and a little less time in that projecting mind that's always looking to the next thing to get that is hopefully going to make us finally feel happy now. but as I've already been saying, intrinsic to that problem is the fact that we're in the wrong part of our mind in order to achieve it. So let me pause here for a quick sec, allow a word from a sponsor, and I'm going to come back and talk to you about how, or one thing that I've been doing lately that has been helping me get out of that first type of mind and more into the second type. I'll be right back. All right, everyone, thanks for your patience. I am back. Just let me take a quick moment here, remind you that if you ever want to reach out to me to ask a question, express a concern, or make a suggestion for a future podcast episode, you can always email me at elucidatetherealat@gmail.com. Also, you can come on over to the YouTube channel, same name, Dreams Warp. Find any one of my videos, doesn't matter which one. Post a comment under it, say, hey, I just heard your podcast, had a common question, concern, or suggestion. I always get a notification right away when anyone leaves a comment under any of the videos, so I can respond to you there, and that always works. You can also find me on Twitter. Send me a private message on Twitter. You should follow me there, too. I do post things regularly, I retweet things that I enjoy reading, and they serve as nice little reminders throughout the day to focus on your practice, focus on your breath, focus on the present moment. So make sure you follow me there on Twitter. Same name, Dreams Warp. To get that good stuff as well. Finally, if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts and you're enjoying the content, I hope you could take a moment, leave a nice rating and review. Another wonderful way to support the podcast. So we started out with this very basic question about what to do when your visualization isn't conjuring up the same excited, strong feelings that it used to. And I basically take that same phenomena and I apply it to anything, any visualization, because as I said, whether it's a mental concept, abstraction that we are using to feel excited about something that may not be here yet, or we are using an actual physical thing that has already manifested, a new toy, so to speak, a shiny new toy, whether that be a new car, a new job, a new raise, a new relationship, a new amount of money, a new a trip, whatever it is. Eventually, they all seem to lose that shiny new toy feeling, and then our mind is projecting toward the next thing that we think will give us that feeling again. And again, guys, let me be clear here. I'm not trying to go all like, Zen monk on you and say you should just be up on a mountain and never want anything and then you can find happiness. That's not what I'm suggesting. Okay, there's a time and place, especially in the world we live in. Okay, speaking practically here, we all have goals. We all have things that we would like to achieve with our lives. We all have families, loved ones, friends we care about. We all have dreams. We all have places we want to visit. We all have things that we want to manifest in our lives. And that's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with that. What I'm suggesting is that we need to use care and remember that no external thing that you can get, acquire, manifest is going to replace the feeling that I think many times we're looking to fill or replace with one of these objects. It's just not going to work because it's two different areas of the mind. Again, we're looking at the area of the mind that's always planning, plotting, projecting, scheming to get something. And we have the other area of our mind, which is actually able to really be present, be alive in the present moment, experience sensory information more fully. And that is really the part of our mind that can get much closer to full realization of joy, of happiness, of freedom. And thankfully, in a sense, we don't need any specific object to achieve that state. We really, really don't. And there have been plenty of spiritual masters that have existed throughout our history that has proven that to be true, okay? Some starting in horrible situations and still managed to find that unbreakable, unshakable joy, right? And it doesn't come from any specific thing that we can acquire, all right? And that's what I want to talk about is I think that the reason that we get these two things mixed up, meaning that we think some part of our mind is able to think, to believe that having some kind of object, manifesting some kind of thing, a relationship, more financial abundance, a new job, a trip, whatever, is going to make us finally feel permanently happy. That belief is coming from the fact that we spend too much of our conscious time in the area of our mind that really cannot achieve that kind of joy, that kind of happiness. We need to learn how to spend a little more time in the area of our mind that is able to connect more to the present moment, the area of our mind that is more connected to the now and the five senses and the body, okay? This is, again, you could say the more basic mind, the more animal-based, animalistic may be a strong word, but it's just a mind that does less conceptualizing, thinking, projecting, planning, okay? It's more of a present moment mind. You may actually, a good way to look at this is like, I remember a while back I saw this this comic and I thought it was so great. And it actually, I just thought of this, it serves as a kind of a good springboard for where I want to go with this is, there was, the comic is very simple, it's just one frame and it has, maybe you've seen it, it has a man sitting on a bench in a park, and next to him on a leash is his dog, and they're both looking at a sunset. And the man, there's two bubbles, right? What the man is thinking and what the dog is thinking. And the man is sitting on the bench, staring at the sun setting, but all that's in the bubble is money, his job, his relationship, his future, all this stuff that's clouding his mind. And the dog, all the dog is in the dog's thinking bubble is an exact picture of the whole comic. So the dog is just seeing himself sitting next to his master on the bench watching the sun setting, meaning his dog is totally immersed in the present moment. Because the dog, as far as we know, right, all the tests that we've done, what we've been able to gather from what we know as human beings, animals do not have the same capability to project way into the future. You don't see any animals planning for retirement, wondering how they're going to achieve their goals, how they're going to build themselves up, how they're going to make themselves better animals. That kind of stuff just doesn't exist. And believe it or not, there is an area of our minds that is more like this, that is more basic. Again, that's the word I keep using. I don't know if it captures the idea perfectly that I'm trying to get across, but it is a more sort of animal type mind. It's a mind that is more immersed in the present moment. And what we need to figure out in order to experience that joy that dog is feeling, we need to be able to connect to this part of ourselves more often, more consistently, okay, in a balanced way, so that we can still, you know, use that other aspect of our mind that plans for the future. We can still use it, okay? We can still work on goals, achieve our dreams, do all those things. But we balance out that pursuit with staying present, okay? And being able to really enjoy every moment that we are alive. And key to this, and this is what I want to talk about, key to this whole thing is learning how to actively practice the conscious creation of gratitude. Conscious creation of gratitude. Now, you may hear quite often about gratitude. I know I have, okay, from many, many, many people. And that in and of itself says something. But I think, like many other words that get thrown around often, we start to get so used to hearing those words that we're like, oh, I've already heard all about gratitude. Come on, give me something that I could really, something new, something shiny, something that's, but here's the thing, you all, is that when we are really, really turning the concept of gratitude into a real practice, that is a huge shift. And that's something that I have been focusing a lot on lately, because the more you are able to consciously practice gratitude, the more you are able to become like that dog in the comic that I just described. And that is a gift. It is truly a gift, because as you are able to become more like that, you are just naturally going to become a happier person. You are automatically going to feel more aligned, as we talk a lot about here on the podcast, a lot more aligned with, you could call, you know, your highest nature. You could call it source. You could call it God. You could call it your spirit. You could call it whatever word you want to use, the Tao, right? We talk a lot about Taoism here. That alignment comes from being more grateful, being more centered in this present moment. And how do we practice that gratitude? When I say practicing, consciously practicing gratitude, what exactly do I mean? Well, what I want you to just think about here for a moment, okay? And I want you to try to practice this more often is at any given moment, doesn't matter when, where you are, you could be on your way to work, you could be, you know, at home with your family, having dinner, you're just going to pause for a minute and try. It's almost like a gratitude list, but not really. It's I think something a little bit more than a gratitude list, because what you're going to do in the moment is you're going to just take, you could start, for example, like what I do is I start with sensory information. So if I'm outside walking my dog, for example, I may just, you know, look at one of my things that I enjoy observing is wind as it travels through the trees, right? We have, where I live, there's a lot of trees in the neighborhood. And, you know, it's amazing to me just to watch something as simple as that, because what you are actually witnessing is, the way I visualize it in my mind, is you are visualizing similar to as if you were under an ocean and the ocean is passing over the vegetation, you know, on the underwater, and you're seeing it sway in the currents. You are actually seeing the same thing when you are watching the wind move through the trees. It's a vast current of just air. I mean, it's spectacular when you really, really stop, okay? Stop thinking, stop projecting, stop, get out of your head and just really, really look at that. Look at leaves really moving in the wind. You could do this with anything, really. You could do it with a flower you walk by. You can do it with an animal, your pets. You can do this. It doesn't have to be visual too, right? It could be sounds that you hear. Birds singing in the trees often does it for me. But you want to find sensory information. It's any sort of sensory information that you could completely mindfully observe. And don't just look at it and say, oh yeah, that's the tree moving. I want you to really, really focus in on it and really try to see it in a new light. Try to see it in a new way. Try to see it without seeing or thinking about anything else. This is a very powerful practice. It's something I've talked about before here on the podcast and on the YouTube channel. And it's basically a mindful kind of observing, right? But what I really want you to focus on is I want you to start with one of these and you can move through all your five senses and just try to find something, anything, okay? Try to hit at least three of your five senses where you can really, really stop and observe something. Or you could even make note of just how much sensory information. That's something I've talked about before as well, is aligning with abundance. Is that when you are able to take a moment and just notice how much sensory information there is around you. Just look around with your eyes. Just notice how many things there are to see. You know, what's actually perfect to explain what I'm talking about? If you get an opportunity, okay, maybe you've seen this already, but for those of you that haven't, I highly encourage you to do this. Go onto YouTube, okay, and search for, I don't know the exact keywords, but basically what you want to look for is people who are deaf, who have a hearing impairment, and they're able through, you know, the new technology that they have with implants and stuff, they're able to hear for the first time. And I love watching those videos. Absolutely love watching those videos. I've probably seen all of them. because when you observe someone who has never been able to hear anything before or has heard everything, you know, very, very muddy, you know, not being able to hear very clearly, and then they get one of these devices put on their ears and they're able to hear, really hear clearly. You hear people who hear their parents talk to them for the first time or hear their husband or their wife talk to them for the first time and they're able to actually hear the voice. Seeing their reaction is amazing. It fills me with joy and it reminds me, okay, of all the stuff that I take for granted, all the stuff that I've been able to hear perfectly since I was born, okay? As far back as I could remember, I've been able to hear perfectly. But see, I don't really take time to really note that. And one of the other observations that I've shared about, been a little while on the YouTube channel, is, you know, you have so many people, like I remember times in my life where, you know, I visualized about winning the lottery, right? Or I visualized about, you know, striking it rich or something like that. It's been a while, okay? This is something that I had years ago. But I remember at some point I came to a realization and I thought, you know, it's funny, you know, this idea about winning the lottery, right? Let's just pick that one because it's a very tangible, concrete one that's easy to use for the point I'm trying to get across. But if you think about winning the lottery, right, you think about where your life is now and you think about what your life would be like if you won the lottery, right, where you'd be able to live, what you'd be able to do, where you'd be able to travel, what you would be able to buy, what you'd be able to, whatever, all that stuff. And then what I'd like you to think about is I'd like you to think about somebody, okay, maybe you've seen in the news or you've read about somebody who's living in a war-torn, poverty-ridden country. They have no access to, you know, clean water. They have no nice clothes. They barely have a place to live. They don't have access to good medicine. They don't have anything like that, right? If you were to take someone from that kind of living condition and you were to show them the life, for me, I'm just speaking for myself, I'm able to show them the life that I have today compared to where they are, to them, okay, it would be like winning the lottery. Right? The change in what they're living like now to what my life is like is probably like two or three times winning what it would be for me to win the lottery and the type of life change that I would experience. But yet, I do not think about that. I do not express gratitude for that. I do not focus on that, right? I'm always in that other mind that is thinking about the next thing that I have to get, the next goal that I want to achieve, the next thing that I want to manifest. And this is intrinsically part of the problem. And so we must, okay, what I'm going to suggest, not must, right? What I suggest is that you really, really stop, get out of that mind for a little while, Just sit, okay? Focus on the fact that you can breathe, that there's life in your body, that there's a ton of sensory information around you, that you have enough today. Hopefully you do, wherever you are, if you're listening to this, hopefully you have enough today. You have your body, you have your life, you have at least one other person in your life who you care about, who cares about you. You have food to eat. You have, hopefully you have a job right now. I know a lot of people, that's another important thing to point out right now that got me thinking, is that so many people right now with this virus thing going around, they're losing their jobs. They're not able to pay their rent. They're not able to buy food. They're not able to, they don't know where their next, you know, paycheck is coming from. And I think to myself, you know, what kind of things can I possibly be worried about in manifesting, right? Well, oh, this, oh, I want this trip, or I want this relationship, or I want this, you know, I want this thing or that thing. And again, guys, there's nothing wrong with having those goals and wanting those things, but we cannot let that, we cannot allow that to dictate whether or not we can be happy right now in this moment. Paradoxically and ironically, the more we're able to feel joy in the present moment, the easier it will actually be to attain those things. So I hope that the message today was clear for you, that it helps you some way in your practice today. I really, as usual, want to thank you for listening. Again, if you ever want to reach out to me, you could use those methods I described earlier. Stay tuned. I'll be back tomorrow with another installment of our Zen stream on Sunday tomorrow. And again, thanks for listening. And I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day.